I don't want to miss out now. that song's all right if you're thinking about second heaven when you're singing it. It'll be worth it all. How's it say it? When I get there, I'll see Jesus and the great white, and behold the great white throne. That's going to be in second heaven. You'll see Jesus more clearly. You won't see him in person, maybe just once in a while, if you're lucky.
Well, that song mentioned the trials, and somebody said that adversity makes your life story more interesting, that if the worst thing ever happened to you was you failed to get a car on your 16th birthday, your life story would be kind of boring, but we all go through adversity, and some more than others, and I know I feel for what Brother and Sister Tally have been through in the last year and a half. And Sister Watson lost a young son. And Brother Tyrone lost a young brother and mother. So we all go through things, some worse than others. And, you know, a job can be adversity. It's not so much the job, but the people you associate with. Oh, the job, Brother Tucker used to say, I feel sorry for you people out here on these public jobs, you know, because you can be in some pretty ungodly environments, especially if you work where there's a lot of people. And it seems that our government is becoming more of an adversity. Seems like they're wanting to get more control over our lives, and they seem like they're spending us into oblivion. I mean, I read the other day the federal budget, the federal deficit together is like $13 trillion. And if what I've read is true, if you spent a dollar a second, 24 hours a day, it would take you like 30,000 years to spend $1 trillion. So you can see that we're heavily in debt. And I was reading the paper yesterday, there's 40 million people in this country on food stamps. So, you know, that takes a lot of money right there. And the government can only get money three ways, either taxes or borrow, what's the other way? There's three ways. They can tax, borrow, or print money. So it seems like, you know, the more money they print, the less money is worth. So it seems like we're in a catch-22. And then false religion can be an adversity. And recently I caught a program on one of the religious stations, and they were talking about a lot of the heresies that are taught out here in these seminaries, the religious seminaries. And they were talking about a preacher that he thinks people should have something they can feel of when they come to church. So he's got small statues up on the table at the front of the church, and if you feel led to, you can go up during service, and he's got a little container of water there, and you can dip your finger in water and baptize yourself. So there's a lot of stuff goes on out here, but you know, negative thinking can be adversity. And back early in July, I got into a negative pattern of thinking, and it seems like negativity feeds on negativity. So one Sunday morning, I got up and I was feeling kind of lethargic, and I thought, well, I won't go to church today. I don't really feel like it. Well, the next Sunday, I slept till 8:30. I overslept. I thought, well, I guess I won't go today. Then I got to thinking, you know, if I quit church, I wouldn't have to make that drive to Little Rock every day. And I got to thinking, you know, if nobody calls me, I think I just won't go back. So you get in a negative spiral. But thankfully, I did get some calls. Brother Michael Smith called me, and Brother Mike Crafton called me. And then 2 days later, I got one of those Pray Law Firm letters. You probably know about Brother Daniels and his Pray Law Firm letters. So that night I was going to call Brother Weiniger, and I was looking up his number, and the phone rang, and it was Brother Talley. And then Sister Wilkins called me on Saturday. So I got a lot of encouragement, and I'm thankful for everybody calling and getting me out of my negative spiral. But just like I was going to be here last Sunday, but my neighbor broke her hip, and her husband, he's blind. And last Saturday, he asked me, like a week ago yesterday, he asked me if I would take him to the nursing home to see his wife. And I thought, well, went over there about 2 o'clock, and I thought, well, he'll stay an hour or two. Well, he stayed till 7 o'clock. I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you how you can think negative. So 7:30 when I got in, usually I do my washing, my clothes washing on Saturday afternoon. I thought, oh, you know, it's so late, I don't think I'll even fool with it. I just won't go tomorrow. So, and then, you know, I could say, well, instead of going to church, I need to stay home and guard my property, because this past Monday, right in broad daylight, my neighbors were going across the street, and they got in about 10 till 2, and somebody had broken in and stolen their television. And so it was in the Conway paper this week that in the last 3 weeks there's been 50 cars broken into in Conway. So you think, well, maybe you're safer in Conway than Little Rock, but there's a lot of meanness that goes on up there too, you know. And in fact, I read in the Little Rock paper yesterday that out of all the 50 states, Arkansas is one of the worst ones. We're number 2 in burglaries. Only North Carolina has a worse burglary rate than we do. So anyway, there's a lot of evil going on. Seems like it's not getting any better. But anyway, thankful to be here tonight, and I just thank everybody that gave me encouragement.
It sure is good to see Brother and Sister Dodson here tonight. Yeah. And Brother Stanley. Brother Stanley. Yeah, appreciate them being here.
I'm thankful to be here tonight. thankful for the grace of God in my life and for this good congregation and the liberty that we have to gather in the name of the Lord. I'm thankful that there's still a fear in my heart for God. Thankful that there's still a fear hard for God and His people. I know that we all have concerns in our life and things that frustrate us or things that try our spirits. But I also know that God is the peacemaker. I know that he brings peace that passes all understanding. That when God brings peace to a situation, there's no question. There's no question about it. You just know that it's peaceful. And there's a scripture says, wait. The scripture's not coming to my mind. It said, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. And then shall all men have praise of Him. And you know, when God judges a matter, when God sanctions a matter, and you know it's God, you just praise Him. You just know that He's in control and that His will is being fulfilled. And if you love God, you'll love His way. You'll love His will. And it'll bring a peace and a praise to your heart that passes understanding. There's no way to comprehend for other people that don't love God. There's no way for them to understand that peace that comes over somebody who trusts the Lord. Just like when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And, of course, that was a very dire situation. You know, it was life or death for Him, of course. But whether He found that peace, my conclusion is that He found that peace that He was looking for praying in the Garden of Gethsemane when He prayed three times, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. The Bible says that the pressure was so great upon Him that when He sweat from the anxiety that He experienced, that He sweat blood, as it were, great drops of blood. But so when He was hanging on the cross and all the other ones around Him, whether it was His mother or His brother, His disciples, even the soldiers and the people, even the two men that were crucified along with Him, they didn't have that peace in their heart that He had. So much so that even Jesus was concerned about His mother. Even at that point there, when He was about to pass off the scene, He was concerned enough for His mother more than He was for His own anguish or His own, you know, holes in, the nails in His hands and the crown of thorns upon His head. And so He had a peace that passed understanding. There was no way for those people around Him to comprehend that kind of peace that He had. Because God had settled the matter in His heart. And you know, that's amazing to me. Whether it's whatever decision in life that we're faced with, when God settles that matter, then that's, to me, that's how I walk. That's how I walk in faith, that God, You're in control, and I'm going to trust You regardless, come what may. I know that You're in control. And just like the Apostle Peter, whenever he saw the Lord walking on the water, he said, Lord, if it be You, bid me come. And he there was something about Peter that caught, there was a greater peace in his life. Let me see if I can say this right. He had more peace than he had fear. Because he was calm enough, or he had enough faith and peace in his life that he just stepped out on the water and he wasn't afraid. Now, he was later, we know. He got his eyes off of the Lord and, you know, he sunk. You know, probably arms went to flailing. Probably had to do the doggy paddle or something to keep from drowning. But at that moment, when the decision came, at that moment, he had peace in his life about the decision that he was getting ready to make. And the body of Christ for me has always been, for the most part, it's always been an easy decision. My relationship with God started when I was a young child. I experienced a wonderful, I received the Lord in my heart. I had a wonderful experience of salvation. I was baptized. I remember my baptismal well and the experience and the peace that came in my heart. But when I found this people, and the questions that had nagged me growing up as a little child and the things that I couldn't find answers to, when I found this people, those answers were settled. And a peace came in my life about my decision to sell out and give my life to God and His people. It's been, for the most part, an easy decision to make. Now, I'll be the first to admit that there have been many times that I've had to pray and fast about the present distress. But my commitment and my relationship with God's people, I believe I can say has been true. And I trust that God will continue to give me a strong desire, come what may, to trust the Lord and go with His people. And, you know, I'll tell you this, I believe my life is better off because of the body of Christ. And the things that I've learned and the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Ghost that I received, the levels, the experiences that I've had in my life. I've met and been around powerful men in this world, rich men. I've talked to them. I've held my children, but they pale in comparison to the men that I've met here in the body of Christ. You know, great men that I've had the privilege to sit down and eat with or just make even small talk with. Those men are the champions, if you will, the giants in my life. I'm standing on their shoulders today, and I have a vision of the future because of them. And so my heart, while it grieves to an extent for those that aren't with us, I recognize and understand that this is the way. This is the way the Lord showed me to go. And there's no question in my mind, and I can point you to a lot of folks that changed the direction or went a different way and tried to come back, and some never made it back. In fact, most of them that I know never have made it back, and the few that have was with great struggle. So, Brother Smith, if it requires me to put a seatbelt on or to be fastened here to endure whatever trial or test might come my way, then that's what I want. I want to be steadfast in my commitment I want to be steadfast in my intent to stay. And the Bible says that the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. Every man seems right in his own eyes, but his neighbor comes and searches him out. There's a working here amongst brothers and sisters that helps us grow together. We're helpers one of another, and I'll help you, and you'll help me, and sometimes it'll be pleasant, and sometimes it won't. But that's where charity comes into play. And the Bible says that charity is a bond. It's a bond of perfectness. It's what holds us together. It's what causes us to love each other in spite of ourselves, in spite of our differences, and in spite of our idiosyncrasies or things that we hold in opposite ends. Charity is what causes us to put together envy, malice, envy, malice, and strife, and those things that separate us. Charity causes us to put those things away and be held together as the Lord works on us and helps bring us closer together, helps to bring us closer together. And, I want to have a heart that's willing to consider. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding. I've always been taught that was like a prayer, that pray, consider what I say, and pray, seek God about this, that God would open your understanding about what I'm saying. And so whether there's something I don't understand or something I don't comprehend, I have the great liberty of putting it on the shelf. I tell you, I'd rather put something on the shelf as to bring division. I'd rather put something aside and focus on charity and focus on the bond of perfectness, focus on what God is absolutely 100% without question requiring me to love my brothers, to even love my enemies. God is requiring that of me without exception. There's no exception to that. And if I have to put something on the shelf and focus on that love, then I'm willing, by the help and grace of God, I'm willing to do that. I want to trust God in everything. And I don't want to bring offense. The Bible says he's talking about someone that offends one of my little ones, he said. He said it'd be better that a millstone was cast about his neck and he was thrown into the sea. I wouldn't want to be somebody that would bring offense to God's people. And I truly respect, a man like Ray Lineger, that Brother Lineger was willing to present himself as an open book to be known and read of all men. He just presented his thoughts, his ideas, his revelations. He presented it to his brothers, and he said, "Here I am, try me." And his spirit was humble enough that he even was willing to put it on the shelf or back up for the sake of peace and unity. And, I admire men that are willing to just stand together, to just stand and let God help them sort it out. And so I'm trying to be careful here not to just express too much of my thoughts, but I just want you to know that as difficult as it may seem and as difficult as it may feel to us as a body, I am with the brethren. I'm with the brotherhood, and I'm with this church and Brother Smith in this stand of unity that we've taken. And it affects me, and I have a responsibility, obviously, to my family and to my children. So, serving God is a conscious decision that we all make every day, just like Brother Fleming said. We consciously decide, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to clean up, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to participate. You know what's the old saying? You get out of it what you put into it. That's us. That's our... There's, no one makes us. Now, children might have a different opinion about that, But as adults, we all make a conscious decision. You'll get up in the morning, and I know I will. I'll be tired and a bit groggy, but it's my decision. It's my attitude, if you will, on how I approach that day. If I'm willing to accept that this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad. If that's my decision, then the worst day with God is still better than the best day with the devil. If that's my decision and it's a rotten day, I'm still believing that God made my day better than had I done something differently. And so I just wanted to stand here and let you folks know that I appreciate every one of you that worked and labored in this meeting, and it was really an amazing feat in my estimation for the short notice that we had and for all the work and the effort that went into it and all the teamwork and you know, I'll tell you, we really had, I just want you folks to know that there is a great team of people working together in the media department. And there was no fighting, no fussing, no backbiting. There was, you know, we had our moments of stress, but for the most part, everybody worked together in the spirit of charity. And that thrills me. What more could you ask for? You know, truly, as a people, what more could we ask for? It's just a group of people that's willing to stay together, but not only, you know, work, not just stay together, but work together. And so I'm thrilled to be here tonight, and I'm thrilled that God has allowed me to be a part of His people. I'm thrilled that you're here tonight, and I hope that you can find your peace, whatever it is that is troubling you, or if there is anything troubling you, that you can seek God, and He'll give you the peace, a peace that passes all understanding. And if He's asking you to step out on the boat and walk on water, or if He's asking you to give your life 100%, not hold anything back, that you can find that moment of prayer or that spoken word or that word of encouragement or that encouraging song or whatever helps you get over that fear and find the peace that you're looking for from God. Glory. That's my desire. That's my desire for you. That's my desire for this church, is that whatever it is, that we'll continue to trust God and believe that God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory, and that He's not holding anything back. Oh God, He's a good God. And oftentimes I think about that. I think about that verse. It goes, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but if you have the power of good, I can't remember how that goes exactly, but don't withhold good when it's within your power to give it. I wish I could remember. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. You know, my children, and you guys, y'all have been through this, I'm sure, but, you know, daddy can have this, daddy can have that, daddy can have this, daddy can have that, and it just goes, you know, and sometimes just like, no, you know, and even before you hear them out, when they say, daddy, no, you know, they may be wanting to rub your shoulders or pick up the living room or who knows, you know. I tell you, my children have surprised me at times, but I find myself reminded of that scripture when it's within my hand, the power to do it. I don't want to withhold good. Don't withhold good. If you can say a kind word to somebody, if you can be gentle, and my wife tells me all the time, she said, "You look mean," and. And I told her, I said, "I am mean. You just don't know this rascal. I'm a lot worse without the Lord. He's helped me helped me a long ways. But I don't want that to be my calling card. Here comes Brother Mean Painter. No, I don't want that to be my calling card. I don't want to withhold good. You know, oh, Brother Michael, I would not blame my wife for that. Oh, my. We'll both be in trouble before this night's over. But I see, I'm going to tell you something. I see people here in this assembly that dote on people. They dote on children. They dote on elderly folks. They go out of their way to open the doors. They go out of their way to say a kind word. Even to me, even when I look mean, they still say a kind word to me. And that lets me know that they're not withholding good. They're giving it. They're giving the good that they have. That's a good church. That's a good family. That's a good trait, a good reflection of people is when they're willing to just give good, not expecting a return. And so I just want you folks to know I'm pleased to be here tonight, and I'm pleased that the Lord has allowed us to come through this meeting and the blessings. I know there's a blessing coming for all of us, and I'm looking forward to it. I expect God to just pour His Spirit out and His Word upon us, and let's go on, because there truly are greater things ahead.
Last Sunday there was a mention of appreciation, and but then when Brother Painter mentioned, I didn't get an opportunity last Sunday, but when he mentioned withhold not good, and he talked about the meeting, I'm telling you, I never seen this people pull together, and I can say the same words as far as the kitchen went and the dining room went. We hustled, we done what it took, and there was a few of you that didn't get to work with us that have in the past, and we missed you. But I never would have imagined. I mean, I knew God would do it. I didn't have a doubt that God wouldn't do it. But it was just like an awesome journey through that meeting. Just everything fell into place. And then what was so, I think, on Thursday night when I finally got the word that there was no dinner on Friday, it was like, what do I do with 267 chicken breasts and broccoli floating out of our ears? And even on Friday, we came in, and the sisters and everybody just helped get the chicken cooked and put away so we could use it at a later date, and the broccoli. And I just thought, you know, it just, nobody hesitated. Nobody, if I needed something, that they just done it when I asked them to do it. And it's humbling. It's very humbling to be honored like that by my brothers and sisters, because in '86 when I came this way, I didn't know what my journey would be, but I'm so glad I stuck around to find out. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate you, because when you're downstairs, it is, you know, you get a few moments to breathe here and there, to sit and rest for a few moments. But the pretty much the most time of it is just you do what you need to do. And I want to thank each and every one here that was an assistant to me in any way, that you came in and you so willingly did what God needed, not what I needed, but it was really for God, and helped us serve the body of Christ.
Sitting there thinking, me and Brother Painter got something in common. My wife tells me I look mean too. I told her, so everybody thinks you look sweet. We got everybody fooled. But no, I guess I am mean, ain't I? <I'm> gonna, now, after being married for ...24 years coming to December. She's used to my meanness. But I am too glad to be with a group of people that if we didn't have God, if we didn't have the things we have planted in us, a meeting called short notice like that, it could have got ugly. Really, I mean, I've worked with people before, and I've seen it get ugly. Not with you, though. And, but man, it just seemed like everything went so smooth, and everybody just helping each other out wherever they needed it, wherever they were called on to do, before, during, and after the meeting. And so I was just sitting there thinking, you know, this thing that was worked on here at the meeting, the conclusion of the matter. I woke up Friday morning after the meeting, and the only way I can describe the way I felt was that it was the end of the chapter and the start of a new page. That all the events that led up to there, I've got friends all over this body, being raised in the body, and many friends in Nashville. And the pastor's son there and I are the same age, and we've been friends since we were teenagers. And so, and before all this had happened, we had started talking quite a bit and sharing with things with each other. And so it was a little rough for me last year, but I the best I could say was what I said. It felt like Okay, the chapter's closed. It's time to move on. It's time to accept what has happened. I felt very a confidence in the leadership, and Brother, I really felt the weighty words of Brother Brown, and I think that you could see how sincere he was when we watched that Wednesday night, that his firm but gentle hand and so there, you know, a lot of people could think there was, if they weren't here, they didn't see that. They think that there was no mercy. And there's always mercy. Yes, I believe that the body of Christ is full of mercy. And I think it was Brother Dave's, I may be wrong, that talked about mercy, and that is after, when you go to before the court, when you're sentenced, you're asked for mercy. Even after you are sentenced, that's when you ask for mercy. But mercy can be extended at any time, and so I felt like it's time to move on. It's time to move on to a new step. And a lot of you here weren't in the kind of position I was, where you have a lot of friends over there. I mean, there's people that were in our church and Republic and here that moved there and that you get close to and become good friends with. But so you just learn to turn the page. And I felt the Lord did that for me. I felt Him doing that, and that I don't have to have that worry on me anymore. I do believe that what Brother Leninger says, you can trust Jesus, but you can have confidence in your leaders and in men. And so I want to know that I have confidence in men that are in leadership in this body, and that I have no problem standing with them and in the things of God. I also appreciate that men and leaders and our pastor that allow us to have thoughts of our own, that we're not just poly parrots, you know, just parrot everything we hear all the time. But we're individual. We can rationalize. We can think. We can come up with conclusions on our own. So I'd rather come up with a conclusion than a surmising. That word was used quite a bit at the meeting because there was a lot of surmising going on, and I don't want to surmise anything. I don't want to draw a conclusion upon any unfounded facts, but to have the facts, to have the knowing. One thing I have learned in the last year is if there are rumors flying, you better not get in the fray, because what you'll find is a lot of it is just that rumor. And we've got a lot of scripture and on that gossiping, tale-bearing, telling things and this, that, and the other. And I've been guilty of that, and the Lord has let me see myself and see what damage that can cause by doing that and getting involved in that, and what are the reasons that people gossip and tale bearer, and the Lord opened that up to me and let me see. And something, you know, even though you see your faults or you see why you do something, doesn't make it any easier to quit doing it. I don't know if you knew that. So, did y'all ever realize that? Just because you know you got a fault doesn't mean you can stop doing it. Yes, I've had people say, well, you just got to stop. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter what it is. You just got to stop doing that when it's a work of the flesh. Well, if I could stop, you know, I would have already stopped. And so we need God's help. We need God's help in our lives to mortify the deeds of the flesh. It has to be through the Spirit that we mortify those deeds. And I want that to that operation of the Spirit in my life to be able to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And it's going to be getting closer and closer to Him. I'm like Brother Painter. I appreciate every good thing that's been planted in me by this body. I've learned a lot of things that's kept me from being overrun by the flesh and overrun my life being topsy-turvy and wrung inside out. There's nobody in here that is not just a little bit dysfunctional. You know, everybody talks about the dysfunctional family. Everybody's got a little bit of dysfunctionality in their family. We all do. We're all messed up. I used to think I was the only one that was normal. And then I found out I wasn't. I thought me and Cindy and Brother and Sister Oates were the only ones that were normal. And then I met Brother Daniels, and that all changed. But... but we're not. We're all got the same dysfunctional gene trait passed from Adam all the way down to us today. And we're going to need a genetic transfusion. From Christ. But I'm glad that I have so many things that he's delivered me from, and he's delivering me from, and he's taking me on, that I'm not as mean as I used to be. I just look mean, and that's going to go away one of these days, the meanness. So I just appreciate being here tonight. Appreciate being with you. I love all y'all. I really do. I'm looking around the room and I think, now these are a bunch of good people right here. They really are. And I love y'all. Glad to be here tonight.
Brother, go ahead, Brother Mark. I'm just going to say something. Yes, it's on. Some different ones have asked about having Wednesday night service, which has Brother Brown's talk on it that we showed on DVD on the overhead. Does that come out clear? Okay, probably, doesn't it? So I told Brother Painter that's okay for the saints that would like to have that talk of Brother Brown. If you want to get that DVD, well, Brother Painter could have it, he said, by Wednesday night. So if you want to get that, well, let Brother Painter know so he'll know how many he needs to make.
Maybe you ought to recommend your talk, too. I thought that was fine.
That was good. Well... Brother Weiniger's saying maybe I should recommend my opening talk in the
I certainly recommend it.
In the meeting. Y'all heard it. It took me 2 weeks to tell it to y'all what I told them in an hour and a half. But you got if you heard it, you'd say, he said all this to us over a period of 2 or 3 weeks. I was practicing on y'all. Really, God was putting things in my mind, and I was just exercising what God was giving me. And I felt like because this assembly was the host church, that I ought to go ahead and give it out. And it gave me an opportunity to, sometimes a preacher can't hear what he's thinking until he says it. When he says it, he thinks I need to adjust that, or maybe I don't. But anyway, you pretty well heard that, and it'd probably be easier. See, Brother Painter can just make a copy of Wednesday night service, and that would be easy. He'd have to take excerpts, and we don't want to work him any harder than he has to work. And you're working hard enough as it is. So I think Wednesday night, you know, if you want that service to hear Brother Brown, it would be all right. If you just got to hear what I said, well, I'll consider it. But I don't think we need to. We can't put it on the same tape, I don't think. So right now, the Wednesday night tape would be available to those that would like to get it, or those that weren't here. You know, we've even had saints. Last Wednesday night service was taped, which showed Brother Brown's talk. So, and I'll remember what else I was going to say after a while. Sister Crow said, what's Brother Crow's first name?
Harlan.
She said, Harlan, tell me what it is I can't remember. I need your help too, Brother Crow.
Well, I just wanted to stand and say how much I enjoyed being a part of a minister's meeting here in Little Rock, and put in my strength, lend my strength with the brethren here, and just go along with what's been said, and say I enjoyed Brother Painter's talk and Brother Michael Smith, and I enjoyed working with y'all, experiencing the meeting from firsthand. You know, for being a member of the Little Rock Church was really a special experience for me. Me and my wife, we got to keep some ministers in our home, and that was new for us, and we were real nervous about it, but found out that, you know, there's no greater people to have in your home, and we just had a wonderful time, and enjoyed fellowship after the meetings, and we were all worried about how we was going to take care of them and everything, but it just turned out so pleasant. We had such a good time, and that's something we've we've kept people before, but never in a minister's meeting. So it was really an enjoyable experience, and like it's already been said, working together with y'all, it just seemed like we blended together so well, and I had such a good time. I don't know that I've ever worked so hard and had such a good time doing it. I got to work out in the hot sun out there on the parking lot. But it was fun. We had a good time, and I enjoyed the experience. And I really feel that I've never been I'm more glad that I'm a part of the body of Christ because of, you know, of what I really feel like God used our ministry, and we really, I